Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Radio Hour. Tonight's guest is Drew Harriott, the director of The Secret, and Michelle Blood, who is the founder of Musivation, amongst many, many other things, which we're going to be very excited to tell you about as the hour continues. I would like to say hello to Drew and Michelle right now. Hello, you guys.
Hi, Kate.
Hey. I'm going to just give a brief little bio on Drew first for our listeners. This is to give everybody an idea of who Drew is and what he's been up to lately, for those of you who don't know. He is a visionary director, to say the least. Drew has made a name for himself at a young age with his award-winning short films. And he has since directed primetime programs for all major commercial networks in Australia, and his work has been seen by audiences all over the world. Drew's unique visions are the result of his passion for creating scintillating stories that take audiences to the edge of human experience, and that is absolutely true. His debut feature, The Secret, released in March this year, is an inspiring tour de force that is quickly becoming a worldwide phenomenon. That is an understatement. And for Michelle Blood, Michelle, oh, if you could see her right now, you would just, I mean, her energy and her appearance go so well together, just off the charts. She electrifies every audience. She is a dynamic, world-class act. Her recorded and written works have the power to literally change your life right now. She discovered Musivation after a near-fatal car accident in Sydney, Australia. That's where she's from. And not only healed her body, but forged ahead and created great success in her life using her own Musivation discovery. How wonderful that we have two fellow Aussies on our show tonight, and both of you are so amazing. Australia does have a secret of its own, it seems.
Well, I've just been
We can start with Drew and Michelle. Go ahead and say hello to each other.
We were just talking a moment ago, and Michelle said she's going to sing for the entire hour.
Oh, that's right. That would be a treat. So Drew, how do you and Michelle know each other?
We met a couple of months ago at one of the ISELA meetings, which is the Institute of Spiritual Entertainment,
Los Angeles.
Yeah, met you there as well, Kate. So,
yes, you did.
Yes, we all met there, all three of us.
Yes. And I was doing a keynote speaking engagement and had no idea that you were in the room, Drew. And at the end of my time that I was speaking, I said to everybody, run, don't walk to get The Secret. See that movie. Have dinner parties. Invite people over. Screen it. Just do whatever you have to see that movie. And then Lainey...
And I took your advice, and I ran out, and I got to and I realized that I actually made it.
Yes, isn't that a nice surprise? And then Lainey, Drew's friend that was there with him that night, raised her hand very high, and she goes, "We have the director of The Secret here tonight." And then, sure enough, there you were. So life is funny that way. Actually, things like that happening are quite natural, that kind of synchronicity. And speaking of synchronicity, Drew, what was it that brought it all together for you to begin the process of making The Secret?
I actually have been, I've just moved over to LA in the last few months. Prior to that, I was working with a production company in Australia called Primetime Productions for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we made all sorts of television shows, some starkly different to The Secret. We're coming to the end of a particular series called Sensing Murder, which was about psychics working on unsolved murder cases.
Mm.
And the challenge with that show is that we were not just making television, which is involved enough. We were also endeavoring to work with the psychics and private investigators to solve 6 unsolved murder cases, cold cases at the same time. So it was a really, really intense year. And towards the end of that year, the executive producer who owns the company, Rhonda Byrne, she stumbled across a little book called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. And there's some content in there that alludes to this secret. And she basically couldn't get enough, and she started reading all through her summer break. loads and loads of books. And so at the start of 2005, she returned from her summer break and said, I've just discovered all of these amazing books and all of this literature about The Secret, and I really want to make a documentary about it. And so we all sat down and started, we didn't really sit down for much of the year, actually. The whole film was made from within 1 year, which is quite extraordinary for a film. Normally it would take several years to get the film up and then another year or so to make it. But really from conception to completion, the whole thing was about, you know, a year and a half, which is...
Well, that just goes to show you when the universe is ready, it will come.
Yeah, and it was a really interesting process, actually, because we were very conscious of making The Secret, using The Secret. So trying to control the whole experience and box it into budgets and schedules and you know, our idea of the way it was meant to be, we all recognised that in a lot of ways it was bigger than anything that we could see or pin down. And so whilst we still had to have a very firm intention, and we knew from very early on that our intention was to create a film that would bring joy to millions of people, and it was really that simple, we basically just held to that intention and moved towards that goal. And we just really received a lot of things that came to us. Of course there's a lot of action involved, but for a large extent allowed everything just to come along, and so many different people and all of the wonderful teachers in the program were really attracted to us. I think just because everyone could feel that what we were creating was going to be really special. So it's it was a really fantastic journey.
Well, I see in everything that I do in my life, Drew, and this is Kate Romero, by the way, one of the hosts of Spiritual Hollywood. Amanda Robinson is busy tonight running an ISELA event, but she's with us in spirit, and she will be back next week. So what I wanted to just bring up is when you have an intention to do something, it is your intention that brings it about. And as long as you stay true to what that intention is, then the universe will just cause it to show up to support your intention. It will just show up. And it sounds like you actually did use the premise of your film to make the film, and I think that is brilliant. What was the most synchronistic thing that happened for you, Drew?
It's a really important distinction to make, because it's really, really important to have a detailed intention, but also to be able to let go of how it's going to come about. Certainly have some ideas about how it's going to come about, but ultimately in making The Secret, we surrendered our ideas to the bigger ideas of what the grander plan had in store for us. And that's really so with everything, but some people might resist it a lot more.
Right, right. And when a person hears the truth or sees the truth, it's undeniable. It doesn't matter the source that it comes from. And the truth is something that is in our DNA. And the truth is who we really are. Our true nature is love, joy, prosperity, happiness, and abundance and freedom. And that's our true nature. And anything else that we attract to ourselves comes from just thinking that has gone awry. And what The Secret will do for people is retune their harmony back to who they really are. And you don't even really have to be paying attention. It just comes out and gets you when you're watching it.
Yeah, perhaps for people who haven't seen The Secret, it could be useful to do a little synopsis at this point.
Yes, and I'm going to... Would you like to do that, or would you like for me to do that?
I'm happy to do that, but I do that all the time, so why don't you do it?
Okay, I can do that. I'll just read from a paper I have, unless you want to add your own touch to it. Being that you do it all the time, I think you'd do it better.
Sure, I can chat about it. So The Secret, I firmly believe, first of all, that a film should speak for itself and I shouldn't need to say anything. But in the absence of having the film to play...
That's radio.
I'll touch on what The Secret is about.
Great.
The Secret basically reveals the great secret to life. It reveals why and how we get what we want in our lives, but just as importantly, it reveals how and why we get what we don't want in our lives. And it's all basically underpinned by a powerful universal law, which is called the law of attraction. And many people have heard of that.
Yes.
The law of attraction states that whatever we focus on with thought and emotion, we will attract into our experience. And so that can be things that we focus on, the things that we want, And if we focus on with thought and emotion, we can literally attract them into our experience. But the flip side of that is that if we put a lot of thought and energy and focus and emotion into things that we don't want, the law works with that as well. It has no bias. The universe doesn't decide whether or not something's good or bad. It's simply the mirror for whatever's going on for us in our thoughts and emotions. So The Secret film is a 90-minute documentary drama that reveals that. And it reveals it with some of the greatest teachers alive today who are masters of The Secret and living it. And The Secret has its origins actually thousands of years ago, back in the ancient Egyptian mystery schools. And since then it's been passed on through oral traditions, and it had a real resurgence about 100 years ago in the work of Andrew Carnegie and Napoleon Hill and a lot of great people throughout history have known it and used it. But really it's only recently that it's really coming into the mass awareness. So it's
right.
Really, really exciting.
Right, and a number of exceptional men and women that have discovered The Secret went on to become known as some of the greatest people who ever lived, like Plato, Leonardo, Galileo, Napoleon, Hugo, Beethoven, Lincoln, Edison, Einstein, and Carnegie, as you say. So, you know, it's something that's been there throughout time, but now it's becoming more of a tool to use on purpose. And many of us use it by accident, but your film teaches us how to use it on purpose.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people watch the film and they say that The Secret somehow puts on the screen what a lot of people have felt intuitively all along. It articulates what a lot of people have observed. And
there's that truth,
put all
yes.
The pieces together, so.
Yes, and when you see the truth, you know it. And The Secret is nothing but truth. Michelle, hi.
Hi, Kate.
Hey, so your work that you do has a lot to do with the same sort of concepts and premises of The Secret as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's all the same stuff.
It is. But you mold it into a different kind of thing where you use music.
Yeah, one of the things that I do, being a musician, is utilizing music. But I just wanted to touch on what Drew said. One of the things that is the most challenging thing to get through to people is that we do attract to our thoughts, that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And when you watch this documentary, and I know everyone very well, very good friends of mine, except for two people in the whole documentary, which is interesting, which is, again, the law of attraction, because when you teach this, you get to be with the same like-minded people.
Yes.
And, you know, he was talking about the Egyptian times. I've studied for over 15 years Hermes Trismegistus's teachings, which was over 5,000 years ago, who was the first person to discover astrology. And he taught this, and back then they had, as Drew said, mystery schools. Because, you know, if people didn't understand it and they didn't get it, it was just too out there. And then when people started studying it again, they had to call them mystery schools, because otherwise they'd be burnt at the stake as witches or voodoo workers, when it's got nothing to do with that. Everybody is using The Secret every day of their life.
Yes.
Whether they realize it or not, and it's making their life better or it's making their life worse. And what Drew has put together with his team and with many of my great friends is something that I was so ecstatic that was out there. And after I saw it, I just cried with bliss. Because to get this information out there to millions of people is what is so important.
Yes. And would you like to give your website right now to our listeners so that they can just write it there at their computers, log on, and get a look at some of the things that you're doing, Michelle?
Oh, for my website? Yeah, sure. My website is musivation.com.
Right. And another one that
we've actually got something like a mystery school ourselves, which people can check out, which is M Success Club, Mystical Success Club. So it's msuccessclub.com.
Okay. And Drew, would you like to give the websites, or I can do that right now for you? What I would like everybody to do is grab a pen and a paper and write this down. You want to go to thesecret.tv and take a look at the trailer. You will be mesmerized, and you will have to see this movie. So it's www.thesecret.tv.
And there's another website, too, for Drew.
Yes, it's www.drewpictures.com.
Yes, that's my website where you can just see a bit more about what I'm doing and contact me through that site.
Which is very exciting. I like the sound of that, Drew. Drew Pictures, like draw pictures.
Yeah, that's right. It's a lot easier than my surname.
Yes, I like that. And Michelle, you have a couple of other websites as well that have to do with a lot of other things you have going on at the moment, correct?
You've been busy,
yeah.
Michelle.
Yes.
How many sites do you have, Michelle?
Nine.
Nine websites.
Wow. We've got the world's first positive TV show on the internet, which we started 9 years ago, but we couldn't actually launch it until 6 years ago because we had to wait till technology caught up with my vision.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm going to just rattle off the websites because I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, absolutely. So I'll just say that for our listeners what they are. I'll just name them off one at a time. Is that okay with you, Michelle?
Yeah, sure, but I was just going to mention just the three main ones. You really don't have to.
All right, what are the three main ones?
Yeah, you don't want to get everyone confused. They could just go to Empower TV, which is MPOWERTV.com, and watch for free interviews that I've done with, I think, all of the people that are in The Secret and about 60 other people worldwide are the world's leading people in metaphysical teachings and spiritual teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us 5 years to get all those interviews together. And we've also got, for those people that are interested in entertainment and Hollywood success, which we'll use it as Hollywood success, but to speak, our best-selling book about Hollywood success using metaphysics is you just go to HollywoodSuccessBook.com.
And that's an amazing book. It won the Irwin Award, did it not?
Yeah, it won the same award the Chicken Soup for the Soul won, yes.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So
for that type of a book, it was an unusual book, so. Yeah.
Yes, and your co-author is?
Rock Riddle.
Yes.
And we interviewed what I believe are the leading metaphysical, except I didn't know Drew at the time, so forgive me, Drew, you would have been in the book, you can be in the next edition, leading metaphysical directors and actors of our time.
Yeah.
Dennis Weaver, who just recently passed away, did an amazing interview all about what he's doing, and of course Stephen Simon and lots of amazing people that really tell how they use the law of attraction to attract what they wanted into their lives, and you know, many of them have won Academy Awards, etc. But it's not about what they won, it's about how they did it.
Exactly. And the book that I'm writing, The End of the Anonymous Actor, Changing Your Life Story Forever, is a book very much along those same lines of how to gain control over the uncontrollable career. Because they're really, you know, you go in the room and all you have is the material they give you, and the vibe in the room is the vibe in the room, and you can actually shift that with who you're being in that moment and the energy you're taking in there yourself. So this is positively groundbreaking for the entertainment industry, and I've read some of the book that you co-authored, and it's quite wonderful, and I think everybody should get a copy of that. Where would they get a copy? From your website?
They can get it in any bookstore. Thank you, God.
Yes.
The law of attraction. Amazon.com, HollywoodSuccessBook.com, Barnes & Noble, you name it. You can get it anywhere. It's called How to Become a Magnet to Hollywood Success.
That's a great title. That's a really great title. So, Drew, what do you have in the works for your next project? Do you have anything that you can talk about?
Well, I'm actually working on my next screenplay. I'm obviously doing a bit of publicity for The Secret, and I've just moved over to America, which is quite a life change, so that's required some focus for a couple of months while we got set up. And now I'm focusing really fully on my next screenplay, which is something that is in its embryonic stages, so I'd be happy to share some more of that with you later on, but I really like in these really early stages just to let it be what it is until
let it gestate.
Yeah, that's right. And then
absolutely, that's fine. But I'm glad that you're working on something else because we want more.
Oh, it's really exciting. I'm really, really so excited about it. I can tell you that it's live action and it's a feature film, and it will be just a really, really pacey, extraordinary journey, and it certainly is writing it, so I'm really looking forward to it.
And do you have Blockbuster in mind for this one?
I always do.
Absolutely. That is
everything.
Well, you know, when you have a film that has a message, it's you know, it's a fine line between how much message and how much film. Because if the message is too heavy, then it, becoming a blockbuster is not something that is as easy. But you're proving that not to be so with The Secret, because I feel The Secret will be a blockbuster. In my opinion, it already is.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting point you make, and I think for me, the way I look at it is, if a message is being put into a film that isn't the character's experience, then it can feel like it's preachy. But if the characters in the film are all really experiencing and living the theme of the film, and it's really in the writing and in their experience and in their journey, then it doesn't come across as preachy. But when you've got the characters standing around talking about the message and not actually living it, then that's when it can start to feel like a message movie. Because really every film has a message, it's just what is the message. Every director sets out with an idea, and every writer sets out with an idea of something they want to say. We all just want to say different things. So I'm conscious of that when I'm writing, just making sure that that whatever the theme is that I'm approaching is something that the characters can actually experience and live and go deeply into, and then it doesn't come across as being, you know, a message movie, because ultimately it's just much better storytelling, and it's what it's
No,
about.
You make an excellent point, and I've not heard it put quite that way yet, and that's absolutely true, because if it's a truthful experience the character is having, it's not a message. It's just the life and the journey of the character.
That's right. I mean, if you're talking to a friend and they're telling you their story of what's happened to them in their lives, you don't sit around and say, this is a message story. You're a message person.
Okay, well, here's something. This is a great opportunity for Michelle right now to tell us about something that happened in her life. Michelle, the thing that happened in your life, which was a near-fatal car accident, what Drew was just saying about a movie about overcoming that kind of a crisis in your life, when it's a character actually who lived through it and used these concepts and the message of the movie to recover, I would think that your near-fatal car accident would make a very good movie. What do you think?
Yeah, I've actually had a couple of major offers to do it.
Well, would you mind telling us a little bit about the story around that?
So
what
it's
happened?
Funny that you should say that. Well, what happened was, I've been a singer in Australia since I was six. I was on kids' TV programs, and then went on to have a band. Drew's a little young to remember my band, but I was on lots of TV shows and all that sort of stuff.
That was
and
before I had a memory.
Yeah, no, you were younger, that's all. And, you know, toured around Australia nonstop. Drew, you probably remember the time of the Machination and the Eurogliders. No?
I sort of was growing up around the Johnny Young, Callan Time sort of era. Is it
right.
Close to that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, what happened to me, just to make a short story, I mean a long story, very, very short, is I was on my way home from a gig, and we were very blessed. We were getting thousands of people to our gigs every night. It was just we worked at one stage 7 years non-stop touring Australia, and doing our videos and all the rest of it, and recording, and just it was pretty full on. And we had a car accident on the way home, not drink related, just exhaustion related. Someone fell asleep at the wheel, because Australia is such a huge country. We could go, and Drew will know what this is like. We could have a gig in Brisbane, and then 2 days later, or a day and a half later, we have to be set up and ready to play in Cairns, you know. Mm. And then the next day, you know, you have to be down in Brisbane again or something, and then down Melbourne. It's just a huge amount of miles to travel, and we drove everywhere. Anyway, so what happened to me with my car accident was in Sydney, which is where I'm actually from, and which was convenient. And my body was just completely smashed up. And the internal injuries, and I was told, you know, there's no way she'll walk again properly if she lives. You know, we doubt if she's going to live. And they had the priest there and the whole nine yards. And I'm making jokes the whole time, typical me.
Of course.
And, you know, I had many long operations, some of them 17 and a half hours long and all the rest of it. But the miracle of it was that when I was in hospital, I had so many fans and family and all these people sending me tapes and books and metaphysical stuff that I wasn't really into. But one of those tapes changed the way I thought. It said Napoleon Hill with Earl Nightingale speaking from this old tape from Think and Grow Rich. So what's a rock singer in Australia who's laying on a flat plated steel bed who can't move, let alone read, how is this going to change her life? Well, it's just one of those things. I had a spiritual epiphany with Napoleon Hill talking about how he spoke to his little baby who was born with no ears and kept using affirmations to get him to be healed so that he could, you know, hear, and just kept saying, you can hear, son, you're a great success, everything's great, just kept saying all of these things. And I thought, well, if he can do that for himself, for his little boy, I could do it for myself. However, I'd use these affirmations, which, for those who may not know what an affirmation is, it's a positive statement you say to yourself about yourself, and it's got to be stated in the now. Well, because I made up an affirmation, I said, okay, I'm willing to do anything, I want to be healed. So I made up an affirmation, I am healed, I know I am, I love myself, I am my friend. So the affirmation was the opposite. It was literally, I'm telling myself a lie of what I want to have happen, stating it in the now. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't go into my subconscious mind where the affirmation has to go. And I couldn't get into my feeling nature because I was in such extreme physical pain. I was screaming all the time. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was I had another spiritual epiphany, and I realized, gosh, you know, I've even written jingles for people over the years and all this sort of stuff. And I, as a musician, I know you can't get a song out of your head, which is why advertising agencies spend literally not millions anymore but billions worldwide on music. Once you associate the music with their product, you can't get it out of your head. And so I had people go out, and I said, go and get me affirmation music. And no one could find any. They could just find Indian chanting, which is very nice, and it's very good for meditation, but not for actually changing of my thoughts.
Right.
So that's how I started Musivation. I created, along with my friend John Beatty, a great musician, all of these great pop songs, and, you know, I'd listen to it over and over again, my own voice, you know, and then to make a long, you know, to make it even shorter, we basically, my body was miraculously healed. I was on television and all this stuff, and then, they're asking me to tour, telling everybody about it. So before I knew it, I'm touring right around Australia with Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer and all these people and Bob Proctor, and they all said, this is incredible what you're doing because it's modern, fun, funky pop music but with affirmations. And it worked, and I started using it to help me make money as well.
Yes, and you've been featured in many publications worldwide, including Mary Claire, Think and Grow Rich, Success, Female, Vision, and many other magazines worldwide. And you've written lots of articles for major magazines as well, and have your own self-help column in many of them. And you've appeared also on many other TV shows all over the world, and literally on hundreds of radio stations every year. So this all came from that crisis you had in your life. Is that correct?
Yes, I realized that was what I was meant to be doing, was positive music and positive film and all the rest of it. So it was absolutely incredible, and they're in different languages. And I've lived in Asia, and I tour, you know, 54 countries right around the world doing my concerts and seminars now. And Tony Robbins and Brian Tracy and Bob Proctor's actually co-written about 30 of my songs with me when he and I ran our own business together in Malaysia, Bob Proctor and I. And
Can Bob hold a tune, Michelle?
No, he cannot hold a tune, but he can write some great lyrics.
Yeah, he can tap his foot, though.
Yeah, exactly. Can I just tell you a really quick little story about, you know, the law of attraction and visualization that Bob Proctor and I did in Malaysia?
Please.
Because it's just such a great story, and anyone can use this. When you watch The Secret, you'll understand why. The following story is a great example how the law of attraction through using visualization through feeling really works. Bob Proctor and I were in Malaysia together. Our main office was in Kuala Lumpur doing seminars and writing songs. We went to the middle of the city one day where they have a huge outdoor stage, and we were working out a music video that we were going to be doing there. And we were actually writing a song together at the time called Motivation for the Nation, which in Bahasa Malaysia is called Motivasi Untuk Bangsa. The reason I'm saying that is because it's a huge hit song now. But at the time it wasn't. We hadn't even finished writing it.
Hmm.
We visualized that in 1 year's time or less. I don't usually like to put a time limit on anything except a project, but Bob said, let's put a time limit on it. So from 1 year's time or less, that we would have our song performed to an audience right there of over 15,000 people. Now, remember, we hadn't even finished writing the song, let alone recording it. We're on the stage visualizing it, And Bob always says, what you originally come up with, whether it's money or whatever, to double it. So we doubled it, and we said to over 30,000 people. And we hopped to New Year's Eve 10 months later in 1996. There were 300 people on stage singing our song, with some of Malaysia's biggest singing stars and musicians and Singapore's, to an audience of over 50,000 people.
Mm.
At the stroke of midnight, the Prime Minister of Malaysia had chosen our song to bring in the new year, because what I had done is I had managed to attract to myself their biggest stars, like their Michael Jacksons and Mariah Careys of Asia.
Wow.
And we turned this into a song that was like a theme anthem for the whole nation. So that was a pretty good example of using the law of visualization.
Where can we hear that song?
Gosh.
Sing it now, Michelle.
Yes, yeah.
Wow, you can hear it on our ringtones. We've got ringtones for cellular phones, ringtones for success. When you go to the Malaysia section.
Okay, that's www.ringtonesforsuccess.com.
Yeah, so you can have your cell phone helping you attract what you want into your life. We've got, like hundreds of different ringtones from
Wonderful.
T. Harv Eker for kids, to be a magnet to money, for love, you name it.
Wonderful. Well, I know for myself, when I first signed up to your website, this was months ago before I ever met you, you sent me a musical affirmation every day. Well, I'm sure it went out to everybody, but I would then send that musical affirmation out to my clients, being a talent manager. It was a wonderful thing to send out to my clients, so they could just click on that in the morning with their coffee, and their day would just be like, wow, let me add it. So it was very, very inspiring to hear that. I mean, I was dancing around my living room every morning to your affirmations.
Well, that's
so what
great.
A wonderful, wonderful thing.
And you just have to listen to it, because it uses the whole brain. You get your left brain involved with the lyrics, your right brain with the music, and it goes straight into your subconscious mind, which is how it works, whether you like it or not, which is why music works so powerfully for the subconscious.
Well, I agree with you, and I did not know that when I did this. As a mom of a young actor who's a former child star, my son is Kaylin Romero, he was acting before he could read, and the way that we learned his lines is I would sing them to him and have him sing them back to me.
Right.
So he memorized whole scripts.
Right, exactly.
By singing them. And now he's a rock star, so I think
it has
something to do with it. So it does work. It most definitely does work. And you healed yourself through these musical affirmations.
I still have the doctors scratching their head. I've got so many steel plates in my body, so I'm not saying to people, doctors, God bless Dr. Middleton and all the great doctors in Australia for the operations, but, anybody else who's had similar sort of, operations, like, they're still not working properly, if they ever do again. And I just refused to actually, after that, I did my own thing for my own holistic healing, and just any time I started limping really badly, I would just breathe and just say, that is not the truth. Everything is possible, and it's possible for me to walk properly, to dance again, to be on stage, to do what I want to do. And I would just let the pain go. And I did study a lot of meditation, which I always recommend to anybody as well, for healing. But it's truly a miracle. I can't not believe this, because I'm walking. That's my reminder every day of the week.
Michelle, I just had an idea come to mind when you were saying that that meditation was a large part of it. Are you, you're so good at doing the musical affirmations, and you've got such a marvelous voice and your energy. It's just something about the harmonics of your voice and your energy combined that has a real healing quality on your listeners. What if you were to, and maybe you already have, if you have, I'm not aware of it, what if you were to make some wonderful meditation CDs?
I've got many.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a website for those?
Yes, that's musivation.com.
Oh, okay. I didn't see those on there.
Yeah.
That's
wonderful.
We've got
tons.
Okay. Well, I shall investigate that.
Yeah.
Cool. So look how quick that exploration and manifestation was instantaneous.
Yeah, any of them that you want, Kate, you just give me a call and I'll send them to you, sweetheart.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
No worries.
Time. They're very helpful.
Yeah.
So, Drew, coming from Australia, and also, Michelle, coming from Australia, for me, I'm noticing that in the spiritual world and the I mean, spirituality is becoming so mainstream that there's just a mass hunger for it that's going largely unfulfilled for those people who aren't owning up to who they really are yet, or they're embarrassed to say so for fear they might, you know, be judged at their job or you know, corporations who actually have executives who go into the restroom and meditate for a few minutes in between meetings. I mean, there's such a hunger for spirituality now. I'm seeing that a great deal of our spiritual leaders and living luminaries and people who are carrying the torch for spirituality are coming out of Australia.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
I'm not aware of that. I'm just.
But you know what? You will be now because you're going to
aware that there's lots of people
from
everywhere.
It's in your consciousness.
Are you, Drew, aware of that particularly?
No, that's why I was saying that was interesting. But I wanted to point out it another way. It's interesting when people talk about spiritual cinema and spiritual music and spiritual this and that. I think it's really important to recognize that there's nothing that is not spirit. And in recognition of that, we can see, you know, spirit in absolutely everything. And perhaps what you're talking about, Kate, is our awareness of that point is what's changing. People are becoming more aware that everything in life is infused with spirit. Because and we touch on that in The Secret. James Ray articulates it really beautifully when he just says, some people refer to it as energy, physicists refer to it as energy, and theorists refer to it as God. Different people refer to it as different things, but ultimately, we're really talking about the same thing, and it's a presence that exists through all of the universe and through everything. And what's happening now is that people are becoming a lot more aware of this, and they're opening their eyes to really the divine order that exists through everything. And so for me, I'm able to see how for some people dark and grungy music is a spiritual expression, just as lighter Michelle sort of music is as well. And different things will be spiritual for different people because we're all different, which is part of the magnificence of this place.
Right, and everything is energy.
Yeah,
amen, brother. There's just as much enlightenment as there is in 9.5-inch nails as there is in anything else.
That's right, and so it just becomes... yeah, and opening our eyes to that is really powerful as well. Because just like
beautiful.
Just as your car crash was a spiritual moment for you. You could look at that and say that was
definitely
the worst experience of your life. And I'm sure, Michelle, with your awareness, you look at that as a profound transformation.
Yes, and I believe too that a person's cross
to bear
in life,
you up to your true spiritual nature, which we've all got, is the best experience of your life.
Yeah.
Right, and a person's cross to bear in life is the greatest thing that ever happened to them.
Yeah, it really stems back to Shakespeare's he articulated it really well when he said that nothing is good or bad, but our thinking makes it so.
Oh, amen.
Very well said. So Drew, would you mind talking a little bit about your idea of forgiveness? Because it's a term, we had a little discussion about that, and it really got me thinking, and I haven't stopped yet because, look, I'm still talking about it. But there's so many facets to forgiveness, and you had a really great insight about it. Forgiveness, I think if I understood you correctly, that forgiveness is a word that's used as a bridge to get to something else, but because all things are perfect and all things are not an accident, all things are meant to be, that there's nothing to forgive. Is that correct?
Yeah, this really stems into what we've just been discussing, so it's interesting that you bring it up. I personally hold the belief, and it's my understanding, that there is a divine order to everything in this universe, and the master is the person who can peer into this experience and see the divine order in action. And so what happens is, with a word like forgiveness, if you look at the word forgiveness, it implies that you're having to forgive someone for doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that assumes that something can be done wrong, that there can be a problem, that there is a mistake somehow in this grand orderly design. Just in that little moment, someone made a mistake, a universe made a mistake, we mucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you were talking about forgiveness, it just got me thinking because certainly for some people that's a necessary step, like you're saying, but it's really a bridge to somewhere else. Because
yeah.
Ultimately, when we come to the understanding that we are living in a universe where there's divine order and divine beauty, and when we can open ourselves up to that, there, in that space there's nothing to forgive. All there is gratitude for everything that has transpired and everything that will transpire and everything that is. And,
right.
And maybe because we've been talking about Michelle's story, someone other than Michelle could look at the person who crashed the car and say, I'm never going to be able to forgive that person for what they did.
Right.
But perhaps Michelle, it sounds like Michelle's moved to a space where she could even look at, you know, hold that person's hands, look into their eye with tears pouring down her face and say, thank you, it's launched my career. It's created a whole life for me now, and I've found my purpose because of that moment. Would you say that's true, Michelle?
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, yes. And it really wasn't their fault either, but they really did feel, you know, really, really bad, the guy that was driving the car, who I was able to do that actually while I was in hospital. I never blamed him, but really, really, just what you're talking about now about forgiveness, I love that, because every week on our mystical calls, we have different topics, and one of them was about forgiveness, because it's really, really challenging. People must find a reason to understand how things work, and we've got to get away from needing a reason or to be understood or to try to understand other people. It just brings pain and suffering. We've got to realize that we look back at something later. We cannot judge because we don't know why things happen. The big scheme of things is, you know, it's none of our business why things happen. We just have to. Everything that Drew said was just so brilliantly articulated
regarding forgiveness,
with what I believe about forgiveness. Yeah.
Yes, and as an abundance coach, when I work with people, I bring to their attention that the reason there is financial turmoil in their life in the first place is that something in their life has not been forgiven. They're making some part of their life wrong, and that's caused a chink in the hose of flow that was coming towards them. And, you know, well-being is coming at us constantly, 24 hours a day, all the time. And the only reason why anyone gets ill or anything goes in a way that we don't want it to is because we have resisted the well-being that's flowing to us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and the only reason that happens is because we're in this third dimension that we think everything is real and that there's nothing else going on. And we've got all these layers of quagmire of, you know, collective unconscious within our, you know, that's why meditation is so important and having positive focus. I truly believe that anybody can have attract what they want into their lives once they learn how to focus,
mm-hmm.
and how they learn to block out the consciousness of the what I call, you know, the people who have slipped into something more comfortable, like a coma, you know.
Right.
And that's a really important point too, Michelle. It's so important to have an intention, because intention really runs this universe. Everything that we see around us began as an idea, began as a thought in someone's mind, or began as an idea, if you want to go this far, in the cosmic mind. And we can really see that. You notice it, don't you, with people. I heard a story about a guy who was a primary school teacher, and he was teaching kids until he was like 60, and he didn't look a day over 40. He just was so passionate about working with the kids and teaching them, and he loved that experience so much. It's like he didn't age.
Living an inspired life.
In time for 20 years. And the interesting thing is that the moment he retired, he was dead within a month.
No!
Like, passed over within a month, just because he withdrew. It's almost like when we hold an intention, when we're passionate about something, we flow all of this life force through it, and we can, through ourselves. And when we stop doing that and when we retire, I mean, I'm determined never to retire.
Yes,
you know,
amen.
Because in doing so, it's almost like we stop the life force from flowing through us, and that life force that runs through all the universe wants to be utilized, and so it just goes and gets used somewhere else. So,
and would you say that life source that you're speaking of, it would be considered to be our purpose in life?
That life force, I mean, we'll call it a whole lot of different things, and a lot of people call it different things, but some words that might describe the life force or the experiencing of that would be when you're experiencing gratitude and when you're experiencing love, and even those are sloppy terms too, because I think in Greece there's 14 different types of love, so we could go a step beyond that. And I
There's five different types,
Yeah, I simply say that it's when you can feel the energy switch on in your heart.
And also, I think that what causes us to age and get old is when we've stopped doing what we're excited about.
Yeah, that's right.
Because being excited is being inspired, and being inspired is being in spirit, and that's what that word means, is in spirit.
Yeah.
Inspired.
Yeah.
And when a person gives that up, they will decay, and they will become very, very human instead of living in that fifth dimension. The world of form will take over when you're no longer inspired or inspirited.
Yes,
and the secret is just like an injection of complete spirit and common sense and it's truth.
It's funny that you say common sense, because that's what a lot of people have said. They've said, you know, it's funny, it all makes sense, and I get it, and it's what I've felt for a long time, and isn't it just sort of common sense? And I think that things when they're on track and they seem to be aligning with the truth do feel like common sense, because
yes,
they should be common and they should be sensical to everyone.
Yes, but common sense is not so common.
Yeah.
And what I would like to do is to just tell you that the secret is just sweeping the nation to the point where I have a client that I coach, and she's a real estate agent, and she's quite beautiful and doing such a great job. She's very, very gifted and talented. She went to a real estate convention in Palm Springs this past week, and she was so excited to tell me on her way home from her cell phone that the whole weekend was geared around the secret, and all of the learning materials that they gave to everyone had the premises of the secret and selling the secret and making sure that everybody sees the secret. I believe they even showed it at the seminar. So it's really becoming quite pervasive, and I think that it would be ideal to get this movie into our schools and as early as 10 years old to have it to be part of the curriculum of our public school system and our private schools.
Yeah, it's a beautiful vision, and a lot of people have been discussing that and talking about that as an idea, and the approach with The Secret all the way along has been to create something that is available for those who are asking. And I think that's really important, because I think the definition of preachiness is when something's given that isn't asked. We've all heard the saying, ask and it's given.
Yes.
Well, so a lot of people give before it's asked.
Interesting.
And it's in that, and that's when you have that icky experience of, I didn't ask for this advice, I didn't ask for this experience. And so so our approach with The Secret the whole way has been just to put it out there and let it do whatever it does. And it's really been, compared to how most films are marketing have been marketed, this film has really been marketed in quite a passive sort of way. It's just been put out there with an intention to bring joy to millions of lives.
And that's almost 100% internet marketing, isn't it?
What's that, sorry?
It's almost 100% internet marketing, isn't it?
Yeah, we put a few trailers on very early on, before we'd actually filmed any of the teachers. The trailers were actually largely created to attract the teachers. Those trailers, there were three trailers, three clues we called them, that were put on the internet, and that started to attract a lot of interest.
Well, if the listeners would go to www.thesecret.tv right now and click on the trailer, you'll see exactly what Drew is talking about. It's so captivating.
Yeah, just scroll down on the homepage, and there's a little box where you can see the trailer, and you can watch it there. And you can actually watch the entire film online. Part of what's really unique about the way The Secret's being distributed is we teamed up with a Melbourne production firm. Actually, this is a really great secret story too.
Okay.
We were wanting to, we always held this vision that The Secret would go out to the whole world at once. And originally we thought, well, that must be through television. And as we held to that vision and the television thing wasn't coming together, a whole new path emerged, and a whole lot of things started popping up in newspapers saying, you know, there were talks about Disney starting to distribute things online, and all these different people that were talking about online distribution and how they could do that. And when we looked into it, and there were some trailers that were being played by Narnia and War of the Worlds and all that, that were using this revolutionary streaming technology, full screen technology, where you don't even download it, you just click and it plays. Amazing. Mm. And we looked into who created it, and they were two blocks down the road in Melbourne, Australia, near us. They weren't over in America or the other side of the world, they were right down the road from us, in the same suburb, so we just, you know, the same city, so we just drove down and spoke to them, and we worked with that firm to evolve their technology so that it could be pay to view, and you could rewind and fast forward and do all the features that people expect these days. So the Secret was actually the first multi-million dollar production to be streamed out to the world online with this revolutionary technology. So it's really exciting, and I think it's ushering in a whole new era of distribution. So
it's groundbreaking on every level.
Yeah,
it's on every level.
Isn't it? It really has gone to a whole lot of new places. And what's also extraordinary about The Secret is that it's really most of its distribution is happening, well, all of its distribution is happening entirely through word of mouth and through people. There are secret parties all over the world. I'm hearing about them all the time. 20 people getting together at someone's house, 10 people. In every single country, there are people getting together and
sharing. Well, let me tell you quickly what happened in my house. My son and his girlfriend, Stevie, both were driving 1964. She had a Falcon, Ford Falcon. He had a Dodge Dart. Both of them broke down all the time because they're so old that nobody has parts for them anymore, and they couldn't keep them running. So I had a secret dinner party, and it was a secret because they didn't know they were going to see a movie. They just thought they're coming over for some dinner and an evening at my house. And when they got here, I served them dinner, and then I put on The Secret. Well, resistance is a funny thing. First, my son's girlfriend, Stevie, fell asleep during the movie, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. So he watched it, and then I invited them back so she could see it this time, brought them to dinner again. He fell asleep this time, and then I had them back another time for dinner, and we all watched it. I mean, I did the double espressos.
And you all fell asleep?
No. Here's what happened. Within 2 weeks, Stevie had a brand-new Saab car, and within 4 weeks, my son had a brand-new Toyota Prius.
So
they manifested new cars. As we were watching it, I said, okay, both of you, I want you to think of the car you want. What is your intention? What is the reason you want it? How will it serve you? What is the need it will fulfill? And go out and test drive these cars before you even have any way of financing them. Neither one of them had credit, and it didn't matter. They wanted it. They set their intention. They followed the process, and the cars came. And they got a great deal, both of them, on brand-new cars and a wonderful financing situation. And they're happily driving cars that can support their growth now.
And it's that simple. And I'd actually like to, if I can, share a process that's really powerful that I use, and I think it's not in The Secret, but I think a lot of people would really enjoy using this process.
Yes?
It has its premise in the idea that the universe is really a mirror for whatever's going on in our thoughts and feelings. And so really the art of living and mastering The Secret then becomes creating, filling your mind and your heart with as much of the thoughts and feelings of what you're wanting as possible. And so this particular process I learned from Joe Vitale, who we interviewed in The Secret, and he said this is a really powerful process, and it is. What you can actually do is sit down and write out your life, how you want it to be a year from now, as if it's already happened. And some people do this sometimes. They write their own obituary or whatever, but a year is a good chunk of time, I think. So you'd sit down and you would write, I'm so happy and grateful that over this past year, all of this happened, and you'd explain with gratitude all of the things that have happened over the past year. And then what you can do is you can just read through that process, and you can hone it a bit because what you want changes, but you can then just read through that each day or a couple of times a week, and what you'll find is it'll just start to unfold before you if you're able to hold that in your mind and feel the feelings of having it now. And it's important that it's in the present tense, because if the universe is a mirror, if you hold it as being in the future, then it'll just keep mirroring it as being in the future.
Absolutely, and that's exactly the premise that there are some people, like, I mean, just to name somebody who is well-known in the TV industry is Jerry Bruckheimer, for instance. I don't know if he uses these concepts of The Secret on purpose, but the man certainly has the ability to attract everything he could possibly want. And mentioning him, because it's a spiritual Hollywood, you know, he's one of the people I want to interview for my book, just to find out how he went about attracting and creating all of this success in his own life. And when, I mean, he could certainly do this process and have, you know, he's already lived like 10 lifetimes of your average person just by the things he's attracted. And can you imagine somebody who already has a natural attractor factor using this premise and this concept would cause it to come to them even more exponentially, anything they would ever set their sights on?
Yeah, well, a lot of creative people naturally have really developed imaginations, and certainly when you're creating a film or anything like that, you're often imagining with all the feeling, the experience, as if it's happening to you right now. And so I think we can see that in people like Bruckheimer and also in us in creating The Secret, that there's a really, once you are able to hold the picture and hold it really clearly and feel it, all these everyday miracles start to happen. I call it ordinary magic because it's kind of ordinary because they're just things that happen, but the combination of them and the way they happen and the timing is magical.
And that's quite natural. Miracles are natural. You know, turmoil is not. Miracles are natural. And it's just amazing to have a film like The Secret out there right now that's affecting everyone's lives. And Michelle, your secret is your own version of The Secret, is the way you're living your life, and the service that you are being to the world is every bit as potent and as powerful. And, you know, it thrills me to know and to see that there are light workers like the both of you out there drawing together the forces to make more light workers, and your leaders causing leaders. And I so do appreciate people like you in the world. And if you start looking into the people from Australia who are really movers and shakers, who are becoming known for making a difference in this same vein, I think it will get your attention. I mean, I've got two of you on the phone right now having a radio show.
Yes, you're outnumbered.
Oh, I just wanted to say, you know, we were talking about music and stuff. If anybody has ever heard James Brown's I Feel Good, and I knew that I would, that's the best affirmation for doing exactly what Drew said. It's like you're saying, I feel good and I knew that I would.
Yeah, that's powerful.
I mean, I call him like, and I just want to also say a little, because the spirit, there's no past, present or future in spirit. I just want to say, Wally, dear old Wallace, Waddles, that little green book of yours, your vision came true, honey. God bless you.
Wonderful. So just to sum everything up, would it be fair to say that one of the best ways to create what we want to have, do, or be in this life is to have a great intention and fill it with excitement?
Give thanks for it having already happened.
Absolutely.
Know that and believe that.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with Drew. Exactly what Drew just said. You know, I write it out. We've got a book especially for this where you write it out every single morning, and then you've got a visualization tape. Do it every day. If you really want something,
okay, it's 7 o'clock, you guys, everybody. So we're going to have to say goodnight. Thank you so much for contributing, Drew Harriet, the director of The Secret, and Michelle Blood of Musivation.com, amongst other things. And this is Kate Romero from Spiritual Hollywood signing off until next week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Okay, bye-bye, guys.